Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families. Now, you all know, if you listen regularly, that Friday, or Fri-yay, as I like to call it, is my favorite day of the week. But I have to say, I'm really hesitant to go out on a limb and say this on air, but I think I'm going to have to. This has become my favorite feature of the month. If you have been listening, we are doing something called the Declutter Diaries, and we are so fortunate to have Kathy Lipp with us. Now, she is a best-selling author. She is known for helping women discover that peace is possible in every area of their lives, even their out-of-control houses. And she's the author of Clutter Free, The Clutter Free Home. I have it right here, The Clutter Free Home. And she is host of the popular podcast Clutter Free Academy. And so she does this all the time. She has been so gracious to come and to do a monthly feature with us and to have a recurring segment where we're talking about this over this year, over 2025. Because as I have shared with you, clutter is a problem for me. It really, really is. And that's why I'm calling it the Declutter Diaries, because I'm sharing with you my own personal journey. I've got my notebook here that has a rocket on the front of it because I'm married to a rocket scientist who is an engineer and by very nature, not very sentimental. So he likes to throw everything away. I like to keep everything. And so we are having our third installment of the Declutter Diaries today. And Kathy, you have become my informal therapist here. Every time you've been on, I've had some major revelation. So I'm super excited to see what God has for us today. Thanks for coming back, friend.
Oh, are you kidding? This is, okay, I will go out on a limb as well.
Okay.
This is my favorite time to, I love talking to you about this. I love it because you are so open and you say, you know what, I'm struggling with this, but we're all going to help each other. And I just think we're taking some stigma away because you look at you, Jessica, and we think, well, she's got her entire life together. Of course, you know, she doesn't even have a speck of dust in that, you know, second closet. And for you to destigmatize this and say, hey, this is something we all struggle with. And Jesus said he knew we were going to struggle with this. He talked about possessions more than any other topic in the New Testament. So yes, we are all here together and we're all getting healthy together on this journey.
We are, and you know, I feel like I need to like tape my producer to the chair so that she can't come over here and tell you about all the clutter that is everywhere, but she probably can't make it over the stacks of books that's around the desk. But I am getting better, Kathy. I am getting better. And you have been very transparent in your journey too. I agree with you so much. We are taking away some of the stigma of this, and I'm super excited because I do feel like you're my clutter therapy. I have some news to share with you. Would you like to hear my story?
Do tell. Yes,
okay.
Please.
So if you've missed it, if you're listening and you're thinking, what are you guys talking about? I've missed it. Go back to January 23rd, download the podcast. We talked about, the first thing we talked about was decluttering 100 spaces. So as I shared, I've got my little rocket science notebook where I have 100 spaces in here that I'm working on decluttering, and I am getting down the list. Last month, I didn't make as much progress as the first month, but I'm still doing my 15 minutes a day. But here's my story, Kathy, that I couldn't wait to share with you. So I was gone last week. I was traveling and speaking at several different universities, and my sister texts me while I'm gone, and she says, hey, I'm going to a wedding. Can I come raid your closet and borrow a dress? Now, Kathy, I have a lot of different clothes because I do a lot of different things. You know, I've got the things I wear for the radio show, things I wear if I'm in clinical or if I'm, you know, in teaching or those kinds of things. But my closet is always a disaster. But the 100 spaces I'm working on decluttering were in my closet. And so instead of feeling panic and thinking, oh my gosh, no, she can't go in there, she can't climb over all of the things, I said, sure, what are you looking for? I'll tell you which racket's on. So she walked into my closet and she told me exactly what she was looking for. She got the dress right off the hanger and took it and wore it to the wedding. She didn't have to buy anything. I didn't have to, you know, bury anything, like my pride. So I just want you to be proud of me in this moment, Kathy.
Okay. can I tell you, even without you telling me, I want you to be proud of me, which, by the way, I think is an excellent thing to say. I need you to be proud of me because I did this. But let me tell you why, even without you saying that, I'm so proud of you. One, because this, you are earning your peace. You have done the work, and there is peace when you don't have to panic about somebody going into that space. And decluttering allows us to be generous in ways that we might not. Let me just say this. Cluttery people are the most generous people on the planet if they can find the stuff that they want to share.
True.
Right? Because we're like, I knew I had poster board, or I knew I had a blue dress, or I knew I had. But sometimes, even though our heart wants to, our house doesn't let us. And you are aligning your heart and your house with your spirit of generosity. And I just, it's a different way of living, isn't it?
It is a completely different way of living. And I'm laughing too, because on my phone right now, I'm getting a text message from my husband saying, "Oh, it's Kathy today. I love that lady so much. Please tell her I said hello." So hello to you.
I am so grateful for you too.
And, you know, it's good because you have coached him. So to recap, what we talked about was 100 spaces, just 15 minutes a day. No big, giant projects. No, I'm going to clean out the garage this weekend. Small spaces that we're tackling, 100 spaces, 15 minutes a day. It has made a difference. And my husband has no judgment and cheers me on when I do it. Now, episode 2, we talked about last time. Oh, you were going to say something. Go ahead. I do not want to cut off any word of wisdom you want to give.
But I love that, because I know a lot of husbands can be in that space of like, well, yeah, you've tried this before. Yeah, we've all tried things before that haven't worked. But you know what? This opportunity, and we might be in the right mental space this time, and we've grown and we've matured. And so I love that he's cheering you on with no judgment. It makes me so happy. I can't even stand it.
It makes me so happy too. I can't even stand it. And I don't think that he would have done that if I just told him, but somehow, Kathy, you just convinced him. So I'm appreciative because you make it so accessible. And the second thing we talked about, so listeners, if you missed out, that's February 13th. We talked about kids stuff. And I'm telling you, Kathy, I am still shook by the revelation that I had when I was talking with you, because you asked me, I talked about this whole big closet that I have curated to a museum of my children's childhood that they care nothing about. And you asked me such a simple question. You asked why I kept it. And I just had that realization in a moment that this was my proof that I was a good mom. Although it wasn't proof in that way. So to give you an update on that, my kids and I have already set out a day during the summer that they're going to come home. They're all, you know, in and out and in college and everything. And we're going to go through all of their stuff, and they're each taking a bucket, and we're going to do it. So I need you to hold me accountable.
Okay. I think we should have a special episode after that to hear how it went, what the problems were, because there will be problems. We all know that. But what we can learn from that experience, I love it so much.
Well, we will definitely do that. And so we had been talking about sentimental things and how hard it is to get rid of those. And so we're going to continue that today, Kathy, talking about transforming that sentimental clutter into cherished memories. And so we just started talking about this, but my third diary update that I'll give you, just as I've looked at it, is you talked about how it still makes me laugh, Kathy, because you said, if you keep stuff that, you know, is in a tub in your garage and you say you can't part with it because you love it, I question your love. I question your love for that if it's just rotting in a box in the garage. So one of the things that I did was, and I'm really, this is very vulnerable, but I'm going to go out there and say it. So I took one of my granny's nightgowns. My grandmother passed away about a year and a half ago. I was very close to her. And I just had her nightgown in a box. And I thought, what can I do with this? You know what I did with it, Kathy? I took it out and I hung it on a rack in my closet. Like when I walk into my closet, it just faces me. And whenever I need a hug from my granny, I just go stand next to that and I put the arms around me. And I just like have a little moment and I feel like she's there. And that's just my little hug station. That's really embarrassing, but that's just the truth.
No, why is it embarrassing? It's so sweet to think that, and if anybody loved me like that, that would be all that I would need in the world. And what an impact she had on your life, and that you're carrying that forward. I think it's beautiful. I really do.
Okay, well, if you say that it's beautiful, I will take your word at it, Kathy. So let's just dive in and talk about this sentimental clutter, and how do we honor memories while also managing space and not turning our homes into museums with back rooms of stuff that hasn't been processed yet?
Yeah, you know, it was so interesting. I was watching something this morning. I think it was like on CBS this morning, and it was talking about national medals of honor. And I think they said that there were less than 3,800 people who had received one of these. And the museum curator said, I have 3,800 stories to tell.
Wow.
And that thought blew me away, that that's what we are doing when we are hanging on to these things, is we have a story to tell about how important this person was in our lives, how much they made an impact in our life. And I've had to do some real soul searching, because, you know, my father passed away about 10 years ago, and I wanted to keep everything, because that felt like the honorable thing to do, right? To give anything away felt disrespectful at first. But when you get a little time and you get a little distance, what I came to understand is how I tell his story is about what was important to him and how it intersects with what's important to me. So something that my mom asked me if I wanted, and I've said no to a lot of things. Well, actually what I've said is, Mom, I will take that to the donation center, or I will find a person that that's important to. But one of the things that my dad had was a paycheck for when he was his first job working at a library. And he had shellacked it onto a piece of wood, and his 18 hours at 40 cents an hour came out to be $7.20, right?
Wow.
And this was for Linda Hall Library. I'm pretty sure it was in Kansas City. And as a writer, to think about my dad, you know, his first job being in a library, my son's first job was being in a library. And so that's where it intersected. Even though I never knew him when he worked at that library, that was something I've kept, and I've hung it here in my office. And so to think about, you know, your grandmother's nightgown, did she ever hug you in that nightgown?
Oh, yes. Hundreds of times.
Okay. Yeah. That's your intersection, right? And so I think about my grandmother, who loved to cook, and she had this little recipe box. And what's made it even more special is she's written in the inside of the recipe box every address she lived at. And aww. I love to cook. So I have those my favorite recipes. And every time I go to open that up, that is special to me. And so you think about those intersections, or you think about something that was super, super important to them. And, you know, think about maybe your dad loved his tools, right? And you're not a fixer-upper, but you remember your dad working with those tools. Could you hang those up in your garage where your little toolbox is? You know, that it's not clutter, because it's bringing back those great memories of your dad. But it's also not shoved in a box.
I love that intersection idea. Like, what's the intersection there where you have that generational passing on? Well, listen, don't go away. We're up against a break here. But if you've got too many keepsakes and not enough space, come back after this break. We'll talk some more about transforming sentimental clutter into meaningful memories. And we'll have more with Kathy Lipp and the Clutter-Free Home. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Hey. Because of the generous donations provided from listeners like you, Preborn has rescued over 330,000 babies. But every day, the abortion industry is taking thousands of babies' lives, and we have to save them. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. If we learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight for the lives of babies, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time she will choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating. Preborn is there for hurting mothers and at-risk babies, standing strong in the darkest corners of our nation by sponsoring an ultrasound. You can be there too. One ultrasound is just $28 and doubles a baby's chance at life. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Wandering into the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul, this bag of bones. Tried with all my might, but I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a vagabond. And just when I ran out of road, I met a man I didn't know, and he told me that I was not alone. He picked me up and turned me around and placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart and changed my name. Forever free, I am not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God.
Welcome back, friends. That's Thank You God by House Fires, and I am thankful for you. I am so thankful wherever you are, driving down the road, if you're patrolling the streets, if you're waiting in line to pick up a kid from school, you're at work, you're walking, you're gardening, you're cooking, you're just sitting doing nothing. Bless you. I wish that was me. If whatever you're doing, I'm thankful that you are here. We are talking today to another person I'm very thankful for, and that is Kathy Lipp. She's author of The Clutter-Free Home, Making Room for Your Life. We are doing the Declutter Diaries January 23rd. We talked about 100 Spaces to Declutter February 13th. We talked about all of our kids' stuff. And today we're talking about more sentimental things. And it can be really, really hard to get rid of, because it's not just about stuff. It's about memories. It's about emotions. And even some of that stuff that we have, it really represents unspoken family dynamics. Maybe it was good. We can't let it go. Maybe it was hard and we haven't processed it yet and don't feel like we're ready to let go. Maybe you got boxes of old photos or just a closet full of things that you inherited or mementos that are out in a tub in your garage, as Kathy said. If you say you love them, we question your love. But clutter isn't just taking up that physical space. It's taking up emotional and mental space. So how do we find balance? How do we honor those memories without letting them overwhelm our lives? We're talking about really the emotions behind this and some of the practical things behind this. And Kathy, you are so wise in telling us that it really comes down to decision fatigue. So I've really been thinking about this a lot. Tell us about this and how it's even harder with the things that are sentimental.
Oh, yeah. Decisions are exhausting. Yeah, we are making thousands of decisions every day, you know, from the very, very inane things to these harder things. But as the day goes on, it gets harder and harder to make decisions. That's why I tell people, declutter in 15 minutes at the most, because your ability to make good decisions goes down. And especially if you're tired, hot, or hungry, you know, those three will kill you. And if all three are happening at the same time, may God have mercy on your soul, right?
And your family.
Absolutely. I also think, though, when we're talking about honoring the memories of people we love, there is grief on top of indecision. And that is, I mean, just go ahead and put that exhaustion five times. And so it makes sense that this is hard. It makes sense. And you think about, well, would they want me to give this away? And let's be honest, there are some people who have passed that would like you to keep their entire life as a shrine to them for, you know, generations to come.
Uh-huh.
But that's not how we live. And so we want to do small, important things to honor the people we love. And I love that you said sometimes it's hard to get rid of things from poor relationships because we haven't processed that pain, or maybe there's unfinished business there. But we can always create a story, you know, about that person's life in a small way that is significant. And you don't need 1,000 things to remember and honor that person. Museums don't have 1,000 things. They have, you know, one or two things per display oftentimes to make sure that that person is remembered.
That is really good advice, as always. And it is really hard and overwhelming. And I think it's really encouraging to think back to this framework of decision making. And you're right, when grief is on top of it, because you feel maybe guilty for giving something away, or like you have, like we were both talking about, you haven't processed something yet. And trying to go through those decisions, I will tell my listeners, I have found such peace in doing that in 15-minute increments, because after that, I've made all the decisions I can and I don't have that decision fatigue. And you were right too, Kathy. Mm. I want to say in the first week or so, it kind of felt like, what am I doing here? Am I really making any progress? But
right.
Now I'm about three right. months in. And my sister can walk into my closet. And that is real. And she walked in and she saw my grandmother's nightgown hanging there, which was a special moment for her too. You know, it's like this little cover up that she used to wear. But let's talk about some practical ways that we can display things from people who have passed. We want to keep them tangible,
yeah.
But what are ways that we can do it rather than just having a plastic tub in the garage?
Yeah. So I think your first option always is, can I use this? Could this be useful? And so, like we were talking about my grandmother's recipe box, or I've got some earrings, some Art Deco earrings that she had, which aren't necessarily my style, but they're plain enough that I can wear them, you know, when I want to. They were clip-ons, which I'm not used to, but you might want to think about, could I also repurpose this? So that it is something I could use, and it doesn't have to be displayed. It's something that you use day to day. So I have just probably 5 things of my grandmother's around the house that mean a lot to me. My other grandmother who passed away, she was an artist in Kansas City. And so I've got some of her paintings around the house, and those mean a tremendous amount to me. But we talked about, could you display dad's tools or grandpa's tools in the garage? Not everything has to be in the living room. Not everything has to be in the master bedroom. They could be throughout your house. And I've got some things tucked away in little, I don't even know what you would call them, vignettes, where I've got a vase that I picked up at, you know, Cost Plus. And then I've got a little framed picture that my grandmother painted. And all of those go together. And it's not, you know, this was grandma's, but I go in there. And that's what I'm looking for, is to spark memories for me. Then there are other things that you can do. We really want a collection, but we want a curated collection. So if Aunt Jean was into ceramic frogs, one thing you could do, because some people have that collection. You could have a ceramic, you don't have to have all the ceramic frogs, but maybe everybody, one of the things we did at my dad's memorial, I'll just say this, he was a stamp collector. And so we took part of his stamp collection and we decoupaged these clear stones on top of the stamps and the magnets. So they turned into refrigerator magnets. And I don't know if many people have favors at a memorial service, but we did, and we loved it. And everybody who was there, we put them on a big metal frame, and everybody got to take one home. And it was just a little something to, for his memory. And people 10 years later tell me that they still have those magnets there. You could use things in ways they were not intended. If your grandmother had a beautiful scarf, could you, drape that over an end table? Or could you tie it onto a pillow? There are so many different creative things that you can do where you don't have to use the thing exactly as it was intended, but it will still spark that memory for you.
You know, there's probably a lot of people out there like me, Kathy, who are the Pinterest fail poster girls, if I'm going to try anything on Pinterest, like I just don't find myself to be creative in that way. But I do have friends that are that way. And I'm wondering what it might look like to invite some friends who are gifted in that way into your journey, just to ask for their feedback rather than just having it sit there, but ask for their ideas. Because I like this idea of having more people involved. I like the idea of giving away favors, giving away something to remember them by, and everybody takes home a little sentimental keepsake. You know, that's a way that you can honor their memory and not feel like you're getting rid of their stuff or throwing it away or that kind of thing. But it can be hard to let people into your grief journey. And so much of this, you talked at the beginning, Kathy, about stigma and shame, because I think not only do we have the stigma of, okay, well, my house is the mess, but and now that we're talking about it, my revelation here is coming here, thinking that I don't want the stigma of disclosing my indecision. I don't want to say I've had this in my garage for this long and I'm paralyzed. I can't do anything. What advice do you have for that kind of situation?
Oh, so I love that you brought this up because it just sparked a memory that I wasn't even thinking about when we got on to talk about this. But I think about, it was probably a week before my dad's memorial, and I am not the Pinteresty girl either. That is not my thing. My mom is a wonderful seamstress, but we're not crafty people. But you know who is my stepdaughter. So my daughter, myself, my mom, and my stepdaughter all got together at our house with these stamps and with the little, clear rocks and the magnets. And Amanda taught us how to do this. We knew it was decoupage, but we didn't really know how to do it. But she could do this in her sleep. And not only did we have this beautiful thing that we were able to give to everybody, but we got to be with my mom, who, of course, was in deep grief. And we got to be with her, and we got to talk to her, and we got to talk about these stamps, and we got to talk about my dad. And it was part of the grieving process that we can't skip those parts. We have to go through them. But she was able to go through it with a bunch of support. So, yes, if you find something on Pinterest that you're like, I would love to do that, I have no idea how. I know when I have a special skill that I can help. If somebody says, I want an angel food cake, but I don't know how to bake one, I am your girl. But if you say you want me to decoupage some favors for a memorial service, I don't even know where to start. But we love to be called on for our special skills, right? And to be able to do something for somebody who's grieving is a gift to that person, oftentimes.
Absolutely. It really is. And that's what I'm thinking about, inviting people in to use their gifts. And really what comes out of that, Kathy, is another thing that you've talked about several times about how story preservation matters more than the object curation. Yeah. And in having those gatherings together, being able to share stories and hear stories that you haven't heard, that's really where it is. How do you weave story preservation into some of these objects that you keep or that you don't keep because the story is sufficient in and of itself?
Right, absolutely. And I think we can always take it a step further. So I was at a memorial service one time where they served strawberry shortcake. And I thought, oh, that's nice, you know, a little treat. Well, it turns out the person who had passed away, that was their favorite dessert ever made by their mom. And aww. So along with the strawberry shortcake, not only did we eat that, but we each got a recipe card for that strawberry shortcake recipe. And I think about that and how we extend the story. And there are so many things that we can do to be able to tell what was special about that person to us. It could be a photo album, but I don't want you to just have a photo album. I want you to have a photo album with a couple of lines about who these strangers are in these pictures. And what they meant, you know, one of the things, I had never seen my dad's photo albums from college until he had passed away and we were going through them. And I got to see my dad through different eyes by him sharing about all of his friends in college and, you know, they would go to the lake and all of that kind of thing. So having those photo albums that we were able to display at the memorial service, and my mom now displays at her house, is a wonderful thing to do. But I think, always think about going back to food. If you don't know what stories to tell, go back to food. Food is such a powerful story for people. What were their favorite recipes? And I know that there are some of my friends that cook their father's favorite meal on his birthday every year. It's a no clutter way of honoring him and being able to tell stories about him and also getting to experience something he loves. So that's, if you don't know where to start, everybody has a favorite food. Everybody has a favorite family recipe. Start there.
That's a good piece of advice. And I think of my sister, I think you mentioned this last time, but my sister had a cutting board that was engraved with my grandmother's writing with a recipe on it for her famous potato soup. And that is hanging up in my kitchen. And I use it actually when I'm making her potato soup, because whenever anybody has any sort of emotional distress, physical discomfort, like if you have surgery, if you stub your toe, you're getting potato soup and having that there. And she took one of the letters that she had written to us and it said "Love Granny" on it, and she put that on the recipe board, and that is hanging up. And honestly, Kathy, that's so much better to me than a photo album that have full of stories that I don't know. I don't know who the people are, where she was this important, was this not. But when we come back, Kathy, we are going to talk about creative memorial projects. I'm super excited to talk about this, talking about, we're not going to have big decluttering projects like cleaning out the garage, but there are some ways that you can have a creative memorial project to help process your emotions, to help process your grief, and to create a lasting keepsake and transform that clutter into a cherished memory. More with Kathy Lipp on The Clutter-Free Home when we come back. Don't go away.
My father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Welcome back, friends. That is Thank You, Jesus, for the Blood by Charity Gayle. That's probably in my top 20 on my playlist right now. I love that song. It has a hymn at the end and everything. And if you know me, you know I love hymns. And if you know me, you know I struggle with clutter. I am a clutter queen. My husband is an engineer. He is by nature not sentimental. And we are going through the Declutter Diaries is what we're calling it. And that is hosted for us by Kathy Lipp, the clutter-free home, author of The Clutter-Free Home, Making Room for Your Life. Before we get back to her, let me just announce really quickly, American Family Association has Activate Summit that is coming up June 12th through the 14th at Cadence Bank Conference Center in Tupelo, Mississippi. There is a kids program for 6 to 12, and they've got some special pricing that goes on ending Friday, April 18th. So it's $75 for kids 13 and up, $50 for ages 6 through 12, and there are all kinds of wonderful things to have some for some speakers and curriculum to have a clearer understanding of what it means to contend as believers while living in today's culture, why you can trust the Bible, and how you can love God's Word. So you can go to activate.afa.net/summit. That's activate.afa.net/summit. And you can make that maybe a goal for this summer. And my goal for this summer is to get control of my clutter. We've been working on that January 23rd. We talked about 100 spaces to declutter February 13th. We talked about our kids' clutter. And today, Kathy, we are talking about all of the sentimental stuff. It is really, really tough because all of those things that we're so attached to. But when we approach it with intention, we are saying today, Kathy, you and I, that it becomes less about losing and more about gaining and curating a life filled with meaning, not stuff. So let's talk about this creative memorial project. So I'm firstborn. I am type A. I love me a good project. Tell me about this project.
Yeah. So I want people to know when I'm talking about creative memorial projects, this should give us the freedom to not hang on to everything else that is maybe less meaningful. You know, some people have a hard time parting with the clothes. And I love that you kept one piece of your grandmother's clothing and you said, this is special and this represents her. But a lot of people have a hard time getting rid of just the money. And I would like you to think, how do I tell their story by curating their life and being able to tell that story? So one thing you might think about doing is a memory bear quilt or memory bear or quilt from their clothing. So if your dad always wore those flannel shirts and, you know, your hug is you remember hugging those shirts. There are people on Etsy there are who will take those shirts and turn them into a bear or turn them into a quilt so that you can have that as something and you can release the other things that were not so representative of your dad. You know, you can donate those at a donation center or something else so that you're not keeping everything, you're just keeping what is most important to you. Another thing I would think about, you know, so many of our grandparents and our parents have extensive china, and most of us just don't live like that. I am not a China person. Other people my age and younger are definitely not China people. I think it's regional a lot of times. There are people, depending on where you live, if China is important to you. But oftentimes we are handing, you know, we have things that have been handed down that we should want. I'm putting big quotation marks around should. And, but they just don't fit our lifestyle. And I know trying to schlep a bunch of teacups and plates that is delicate, it just doesn't work for my lifestyle. But when somebody passes, could everybody in the family take a special teacup that they could put on a shelf or they could put in their cupboard that would remind them of grandma? I think that that is a much more practical way to go. And then there are places that will accept donations of that china that maybe somebody else would enjoy and would use. One thing that I have thought about and I would want maybe my kids to do, or I might do it for a friend, is that everybody in the family shares their favorite recipe that that person made, and to publish a cookbook with all of those favorites. You know, it's very easy to get on. It's called KDP, which is from Amazon, Kindle Direct Publishing. It's very easy to create your own book now. And, you know, you hire somebody to edit it, and you could even have pictures in that book. And even if it only goes to 15 people, that could be such an amazing remembrance of that person. And then I wanted to tell you about some things that Roger and I have done for our parents. When Roger's mom passed away, I knew her. She was the butterfly lady. Anything that you bought, she had so many butterfly things. It was just amazing. Now, that's not my vibe, and that's okay. But what we did instead is we planted a butterfly garden that was appropriate for the wildlife where we live, that would attract butterflies. Butterflies need butterfly gardens. They need these plants that are attractive to them. So we were doing something good for the environment and doing something to remember Roger's mom as well. And then both Roger's dad and my dad have passed away, and they were both into astronomy. They love the stars. They love the moon. They love going out and looking at the stars. And so just not too long after Roger's dad passed away, there was a full eclipse. And what we did is we traveled to a very tiny town in Tennessee from California, and we made one of those, I don't even know what you would call it, but you can look at the eclipse through this safely. It reflects onto the ground. And we put our dad's names on it and took a picture together of making this trip in honor of our dads, because we know that they would have loved that. And finally, a charitable donation. What was a cause that was really important to that person? And how, you know, could you make a donation that was something that they would love to see that work be continued? That is a wonderful way of honoring somebody that you've loved.
I think one of the things that I'm thinking as you're talking, Kathy, is about back to this decision fatigue that we talked about. And so often I think that you may have inherited stuff, you know, just whether that's a tub of stuff, a box of stuff, a room of stuff.
Right.
And you look at that and you just think it's so overwhelming. I need to do something with it. But I think of the idea of crafting this into a project, like what kind of project would really reflect their memory very well. And I'm wondering, Kathy, if we can go back to the 100 spaces to declutter. If you have 100 sentimental items, could you just take care of those one at a time? Maybe it's a newspaper clipping. You can look and see, what can we do with that? And do it, you know, actually do it and start to, maybe that's your project, as you're going through those things little by little. And, you know, Kathy, it, as we've talked about throughout this program, a lot of times those things can trigger memories, can trigger thoughts. And I feel like I would be remiss if I didn't say, if you are going through those things and if your grief is still fresh and if you need somebody to walk through that with you, whether that's a pastor or a lay counselor or a professional counselor, whatever it is, maybe that's a sign to you. If it's just too tender and it's been so long, maybe that's a sign that, you know, and maybe those things are a gift to show that you need some healing still. I just feel like I would be remiss if I didn't say that. But what do you think about, you know, where would people start? They think, okay, I know I need to start somewhere, but man, it's so raw.
Yeah. So I think the first thing to start with is being charitable. You know, really, how do I honor that person's memory? So maybe you're not ready to go through their stuff, but you want to do something. And let me also say, this isn't just for humans. Some of us, our pets are our family. And so maybe, you know, one of the things that we did after our dog Jake passed away is we made a donation to an animal shelter that would pay for the adoption fees for 5 families that couldn't afford that adoption fee. And just that little thing, making meaning out of that loved one's passing is a step. You don't have to go through their stuff right away. Sometimes it does feel good to go through their things and say, I know somebody could use this. But just taking one small step to make meaning out of their passing is a step towards healing. And then I love what you said about bringing somebody in, maybe a friend to sit with you to go through those memories, to go through those items and say, what in here really represents your relationship or really represents that person to you? It does. When we save everything, it means nothing. But when we curate those special memories and we put them in a place of honor, that is what gives meaning to our mourning. And that's where I'd like you to start.
Oh, I am going to cry. That gives meaning to our mourning. I'm writing that down right now because you're right. When everything is just sitting and we're saving it for who or for what, but when we're curated as a living legacy of what they did. And you know, Kathy, I actually just thought of something, and much like you, I hadn't thought about this at all, but I just thought about it. A story of my granny, of course, which is, you know, just still a grief that I'm walking through because I loved her so much. But when I was a little girl, we used to go to this really fancy ice cream place called O'Farrell's. It was in downtown Houston. It was an old timey ice cream kind of place. And they had the big tall glasses, you know, that you would put the whipped cream and the cherry on top of. And we didn't go there very often, but she took me there a few times and it was a really special big trip. And when that store closed, she went to O'Farrell's and she said, I want to buy your ice cream glasses so that I can continue this tradition at home. I want to be able to, you know, fix ice cream for my kids in these glasses. And she gave me some of those glasses and I love that I have them. But you know what? Oh, gosh, I hope I don't know why you always make me cry, Kathy, but I have some very, very dear friends who had been through a lot. They had been through a lot of loss. They'd lost their son. They just had been through a lot of trauma and tragedy. And they posted a picture of their anniversary and said, our first anniversary was at O'Farrell's ice cream parlor. And I thought, oh, they need 2 of these glasses. And I thought, can I give them away? Can I part with them? But I took them over there and gave them to them as an anniversary gift. And she made these ice cream sundaes and took a picture and she put them in a picture and just said, now we can really recreate our O'Farrell's date. And it gave me joy to give them away because I thought my granny would love that if she knew that. And hang on, guys, it looks like we lost Kathy, but we're going to get her back in just a second. But it gave me so much joy. And I think of the story that Kathy told before too, in that she was a time when she did not have very much money. She was a single mom looking for her kids, and her son wore a very large size of tennis shoe. And she thought, there's no way we'll be able to find those here. But she did find them there, and she found exactly the pair that he was looking for, and someone's generosity really blessed their family in that moment. So listen, if you want to know more from Kathy Lipp, she has a Facebook page that you can join for free. You can go to Kathy Lipp. Her book is The Clutter-Free Home, Making Room for Your Life. And I know that after each show, we've had hundreds of people sign up and say, we need more help. So I know this is something that is resonating with a lot of people. Join her Facebook page. Just look for Kathy Lipp's Clutter-Free Academy. That's Kathy Lipp's Clutter-Free Academy. And she, I know that she would love to walk alongside you. Kathy, thank you so much again for being with us. Tell us, I was telling everybody where to find you. I'll give you the last word.
Yes. Okay, first of all, the O'Farrell story had me in tears. I love your granny so much. And I would love to find you on Facebook. Yes, Kathy Lipp's Clutter-Free Academy. We just join us over there. We talk about all of these things that Jessica and I have been talking about, and we'd love for you to join us.
Thank you so much, Kathy. Again, I really appreciate it. Stay tuned for the next episode of the Declutter Diaries. We're doing these once a month, and I'm so grateful that Kathy has given her time. That is our most valuable commodity we have, and time is precious. And thank you, Kathy, for spending it with us. And thank you to our listeners for being with us for this afternoon. And I pray that as you go through your sentimental clutter, along with me, as I'm sharing, I pray the Lord will bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you and help you turn your mourning into meaning. Give meaning to your mourning as you walk through this. We will see you right here next time. I cannot wait. We have a great week lined up for you. Don't miss it. Have a great afternoon. See you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.